Thanks for listening in today on the Wander Mom Diaries podcast. Today, I'm excited to share an interview with Donna, a camping with kids expert. From the first week her daughter was born, Donna and her husband, Daniel, have made the outdoors a core value within their family, and their now 16-year-old embraces the wilderness like her parents do. You'll learn tips and tricks to help your little ones love the outdoors as much as you do, and if you have an older child, don't worry, there is still hope. It is never too late to love nature if you approach it with the right angle, all of which you'll learn in this interview. Hello and welcome to the Wander Mom Diaries podcast. In this show, a Wander Mom is defined as a woman juggling all the things, but still has the desire to stay ambitious and find adventure in life, no matter what obstacles come her way. You will hear interviews that focus on adventures you can do with your family, along with episodes packed with helpful advice to hopefully make life a little easier. Whether you are looking for a simple getaway to a nearby park or a trip around the world, this podcast is here to help, support, and guide you to where you want to go and who you want to be. I'm your host, Mandy Kramer, and I'm so glad you're here. And welcome to the Wander Mom Diaries podcast. I am very glad to be here having a conversation with Donna, who is going to talk about tips and strategies to go hiking and camping with your kids. I'm very excited about this conversation because I personally have many questions for her. Donna is my husband's aunt, but I've known her for many, many years and have had the pleasure to go on multiple California adventures with her and her family. And so welcome to the podcast, Donna. Could you give an introduction and kind of let the audience know a little bit about you and where you're located?
Hi, thank you, Mandy. So my name is Donna, and I'm originally from Farmington Hills, Michigan, but my parenthood started in Northern California, so that's what we're speaking on today. And most of my camping and hiking has been in the Sierra Nevada mountains of Northern California. There has been some camping and hiking along the West Coast, Oregon, Utah, Washington, and a little bit in Hawaii, but by far the vast majority of my hiking, camping, backpacking experience with children have been in Northern California.
Awesome. And I have here in the notes that you went on your first hike with your daughter when she was 1 week old. That is super impressive.
I was just very antsy to get out of the house after I had a C-section. So there was 4 days before I could even leave the hospital, and I just had to get outside. So the first sunny day, I put her in, it's a front pack, but I don't even know if this style of front pack is currently made anymore, but it's very cozy and it's more like a swaddle, I would say. And she was just swaddled really close to my body where she could be nice and warm. And went for a hike along the river, and it was just wonderful to get out. And then she was, my daughter was good. She seemed to enjoy it. She didn't complain a bit, slept through most of it.
Yeah. That's so nice. Like that you're just getting out there immediately. What triggered you to love the outdoors in the first place? I know you kind of grew up in Farmington Hills, and I know a little bit just from your sister, the stories of you guys growing up. And it doesn't sound like you went hiking and camping maybe too much, but please correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you are correct. We did a lot of exploring through our area, but no, I never even went camping until I was an adult. Actually, high school was the first time I went on a backpacking trip through a group on the Appalachian Trail, and I just loved it. But I was I think I was 17 years old the first time I actually went out, but had a love, you know, just loved the outdoors. And especially when I moved to Northern California, it's just so beautiful here. And so it just became part of my daily life to, you know, be outside. And I spent a period of time as a whitewater rafting guide. So I literally lived outside for many summers in a row. Yeah. And when, after marrying my husband, and he's very much an outdoors person too, we just knew that in having children, that was not something we were going to give up, that it was too important to us. And So when my daughter was born, it was, you know, number one, we have to teach her to love the outdoors just like we do.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I think it's great for people to hear that you can start these passions later. If you haven't ever hiked or camped before, it's never too late. I'm kind of the same way. My family, we didn't do too much camping at all. And then it wasn't until I was in high school, maybe actually college, I would say, then that's where I really discovered the outdoors and got excited. So it's nice that, you know, both of our kids can kind of get immersed in it from the get-go. All right. So the next question I have is, do you have any tips or tricks in ways to prepare for a hiking or camping or even a backpacking trip with a child?
I think the biggest advice I can give is to do your homework, be prepared. As adults, it's easy to just kind of wing it and, you know, let's just go for a hike. And if it's uncomfortable, we can survive because we know it's just a hike. But with children, you really have to be prepared because one bad experience and you can really ruin it for your child's love of being, you know, out in nature. So just do your homework, know where be familiar with where you're going to go. You don't want to take children to some place that you haven't been before and you don't know what to expect. Make sure you pay attention to what to expect weather-wise. You know, you're prepared with clothing, you're prepared with, you know, bug spray, sun repellent, whatever the conditions dictate. And start small. I think it's really important, especially for overnight camping trips. Don't plan a week the first time. I mean, just one night the first time. Start small and build from there. I think that's really important in getting your kids to, you know, just learn to love it. You just don't want to make it too overwhelming from the get-go.
Yeah, that's great advice. Starting small, even starting, because I have yet to go on an overnight camping trip with my daughter. So I just have all of these questions that I want to ask you to kind of ease my stress about it. And one of the things I'm thinking of right now is that we could just go make it small, make it short, like overnight, but also not far. So that worst case scenario, you just come home, right? There's probably plenty of campgrounds that are by your house, and you can even, I don't know, maybe people can even start in the backyard and they just practice with a tent and just practice sleeping outside and just getting that environment, the kids used to that kind of environment at first. And also the parents, I'm also quite nervous about the experience. So that could be some good practice for the adults as well.
It's funny, Mandy, that you mentioned just in the backyard. I think that is great advice because that's also a great way to test your equipment. We had a very large tent and we would all stay in the one tent together. Again, my daughter started camping when she was a baby. And so, you know, we had a large tent. We used a very, very comfortable big foam pad that, you know, with blankets, sleeping bags for babies, not a good idea. Because they can get wrapped around them. And so having a, you know, for some people, if a baby's used to the pack and play, that might work. We felt most comfortable with having, you know, just a big foam pad with blankets. That way, you know, that we could share the body heat. She was right next to me, so I knew if she was comfortable or not, if she was sleeping or if she was in trouble. Air mattresses are very popular, but they sometimes lose air overnight, and that can really destroy your trip if you're on the ground. And so, yeah, I agree. You know, set up the tent, try out all your equipment in the backyard. And so you know what you need, you know what's in good working order before you're taking it someplace where it's, you know, would be a failure if something went wrong.
Yeah, that's a great point to test out the equipment. And also, I think that's the number one thing I'm worried about is the temperature. And you're in Northern California, which can be very warm during the day, and also the temperatures drop at night. And I'm in Michigan, so it's kind of a similar situation. We don't have such drastic changes, but still, like, it can be, you know, snowing one minute and sun and feeling really warm the next, and raining and then hailing or whatever. So can you go into detail about how you keep the babies warm? Because I think that's my number one concern.
Sure. Yeah. I guess I should start by saying, if you really want your kids to love camping, you got to kind of throw out some of your typical home rules, because I think they just, I think that's part of the fun for our kids is you're doing something that is different from being at home. And so I know parents go through so much work training their babies and toddlers to, you know, sleep comfortably in their own bed. And then here we throw that out and let them sleep with us in a tent.
Yeah, right.
but at least in our case, you know, my daughter, that became one of the reasons she loved camping, because that was kind of something special she could look forward to. So it was a rule that we threw out. But so, yes, we did. We had one very, very large foam pad mattress when she was young. I just felt most comfortable that way because I could monitor how warm she was. You know, I could make sure that, you know, she was right with us and that she was warm. Because you are right. A particular place we camped at a lot, it could be 80 degrees during the day, but it was below freezing at night. It was 20 degrees at night. And so,
wow,
you know, making sure that, you know, your kids are safe, obviously, is very number one.
Yeah.
And that was a rule we were willing to throw out in the effort of making sure that she was safe and everybody was comfortable. And for us, it worked well. Looked online, read what other people do. And a lot of other people like the pack and play, you know, then that might work well. Just for me, it'd be more concerning given our temperature changes and because it was so cold at night.
Right.
That would be more concerning. I think in a warmer climate, then that might work just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the preparation too, is understanding if you are camping somewhere that you're not really that used to make sure to do the research on how cold it gets at night and be prepared for that, or how warm it gets at night. And that will really help with the preparation there. That's awesome. And you have a great point of it being something new and exciting for the kids too, as they get a bit older, you know, that they get to sleep with mama for these special nights and everything. So that's awesome.
I think my daughter slept with us up until about age 7. So that's pretty old, but just on camping trips.
Okay.
And that was just something fun for her to look forward to. Now, not everybody might, you know, some people might not want to do it that way, but we did. And she, it made, you know, it was part of her love of camping. It's interesting because just this morning I asked her to share with me what made her love camping so much when she was real little, you know, because it's changed a little bit over the years. But when she was, I said, your earliest memories of camping, what are some of the things that, you know, made it so much fun for you? And one of the things she brought up was she really did love that it was so cold at night because she felt warm and snug with us in the morning. Everything's covered with frost, you know, and of course you bring clothing to, you know, bundle up and you know, deal with the temperature. But that was one of the things that was fun for her, was those temperature extremes. She just thought that was, you know, it was different and fun. And, you know, the snuggling in the tent was just part of the experience.
Oh, that's so sweet. You must have felt so nice hearing that. All right. And so I kind of want to talk about this, the more preparation factors. So you don't have to like list everything, but what are some things that families could keep in mind when packing for, let's say, an overnight trip? Are there any things that were very helpful for you with that you can kind of give some insight to?
Sure. We always let our daughter, I would get a bag, a small bag, about half the size of a typical grocery bag. And, you know, kids want to bring everything. They can't be without their particular toys.
Yes. So
I just let her pick whatever she wanted, but it had to fit in the bag. And so if it didn't fit in the bag, you can't bring it.
That's a good idea.
And so that way she had to choose which things were most important. Now, realistically, once we started camping, she hardly even played with the toys that she brought. They were helpful in the car because there's so much out in nature to play with. But that, you know, that way I could help control her packing too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was one thing. Another thing, food, it's best if you can make as much at home as possible, so you're not having to spend a lot of time cooking. You know, so I did prepared, like if I made salmon burgers, I had them all ready to go. And so I just had to fry them up, or, you know, just as much of the food as possible I pre-made. And so that way the cooking part was fast and simple. lots of snacks for kids. You know, they are constantly hungry, especially when you're outdoors and running around. They're awake longer. And so lots of snacks for, you know, to make sure that they are satisfied. And then something special, you know, again, it's all about, I think it's all about the kids being happy, because as they grow, then obviously as a family, you're enjoying this time together. And if your kids don't like it when they're young, it's just a struggle. And so, you know, like the hot chocolate or s'mores at night, you know, that was something that goes with camping. S'mores weren't so much our deal, but hot chocolate, you know, it's like, we don't normally have hot chocolate every night after dinner, but we do when we're camping. Yeah. And so just those special treats that they only associate with camping. So that was another thing. Another bit of advice is always arrive with plenty of daylight left to set up your camp. That was definitely a fail of ours, you know, arriving too late, you know, tired, cranky, hungry kids, and we still have to set up camp.
Yeah.
And so making sure you, wherever you're going, you get there with, you know, a few hours of daylight. So you have that time to set up, to get comfortable, to eat. And then another really important thing is going to the bathroom. Kids need to learn how to do that. So depending on if you're at a campground with a facility, if it's kind of a not so clean facility, how you're going to work that out. Most of our camping, there were no facilities. And so teaching, you know, we would always, you know, dig a few holes in advance out, you know. And yeah. So, you know, this is where you go to the bathroom. The hole's already there. This is, you know, what you do. I mean, obviously, when they're real little, you know, you're taking them, you're going with them. And as they get older, you know, we're still pre-digging the holes until they're old enough to know how deep and how far from a water source. But again, you know, they just need to learn how to do that.
That's so true. To model that for them and to actually teach them the science behind it, like why you are digging a hole in this spot. Yeah, that's really, I didn't think about that. But that's so helpful.
And this is another one that you don't think of, because especially when it's cold, you think of bundling up your kids in, you know, one piece thermal jammies. Go two pieces. If they have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you don't want to have to take off a one piece thing where their whole body is exposed.
Oh yeah. That's smart too. Yeah, absolutely. I kind of want to backtrack a bit about your food preparation, because just from experience with camping with you and your family, you guys are always so good about being prepared and having like delicious food. Would you like to share some of your favorite camping meals to kind of give the listeners some inspiration? Because I could always use some other ideas and recipes, because I will just go to the store and get those really terrible high sodium backpacking meals. But when Kenzie is older, I don't want to have to be doing that all the time. So if you have any favorite recipes or food prep ideas, I'd love to hear it.
Sure. With, you know, as you mentioned, there are lots of pre-made options, and some of them are, especially if you go to a, you know, a Whole Foods or something like that, there are, you know, less sodium, some pretty good options that you just, you know, open up a bag and heat it up, you know, so that is by far the easiest. Taste of India. Mm-hmm. They have, when you went backpacking with us, we used that. They were just food in a pouch and you just opened it up and it was vegetables and it was delicious.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit heavier, but it's very, very easy and it's good, nutritious food. But some of my favorites for actually cooking food. And I think, again, talking to my daughter, she kind of liked that. She liked the cooking outside. So we had a roll up table that, you know, we'd set up and a camp stove. And then some of my favorite meals that I could do a lot of the prep beforehand, but then actually do the cooking outside, because the smell in cooking outside is just, you know, part of the experience. Mm-hmm. It just smells so good to cook outside. So I mentioned I've made salmon burger patties, and that's real easy because I pre-make them at home and they're already in patties. And then I just, you know, fry them up on the stove. I use some of those pre-cooked, like Adele's sausages. That's another one that's very easy because they are pre-cooked and you can just slice them and grill them on a stove. And then I use, you know, box mac and cheese. Annie's makes a great box mac and cheese or box rice, something like that. And then even with vegetables, I will pick something that's a little firmer, like carrots or a firmer zucchini or onions, and slice them all up and have them just ready to go. And then bring a little bottle of olive oil and some salt and pepper. And so I can saute some veggies in a pan. But again, I've already pre-cut everything, so it's so much easier. Breakfasts, we eat a lot of oatmeal.
Okay, yeah.
So that's always very popular. Scrambled eggs are easy. You can pre-scramble them and then put them in a, you know, good Tupperware container that's not going to leak. And then you're not dealing with the shells and the mess. It's just all ready to go.
I was just going to think like, oh man, if I tried to carry eggs on a backpacking trip, but no, it's a lot smarter, to put it in the bag beforehand.
And I haven't done this myself, but a friend that we go camping with a lot does this, and the kids just love them. But she bakes. It's like she'll put meat and veggies and sometimes cheese, and then makes a dough, a bread, and bakes it. Now I can get that recipe from her, and so I can give it to you so you can put it on your attach it, because she has these rolls that are just done. And when it's dinner time, and she has four kids, so she's actually quite a master at this. And she, when it's dinner time, they just come and pick up a roll and eat it. And it has a protein and a vegetable, and it's all there.
Oh, that's awesome. For this episode and all my episodes, I write a detailed blog post that act as the show notes. So we can put that recipe in the blog post, and when people go to look at the notes, they can get the recipe. So I'd be happy to add that if you can get it. That's awesome.
I'm sure she would be happy to share. I was just trying to think of other quick meals. I even go as far as if I have a brick of cheese, I pre-slice it. You know, just if you have a roll, you know, salami, pre-slice it. Just whatever I can do at home to make it a little bit easier, a few less dishes, I do that.
That's great. That is something Bob and I do not do well, is the preparation part. We are always like trying to find a log to balance a cutting board and, you know, chopping cheese or whatever. So no, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. And I already feel more inspired. Great advice. Would you like to share any special experiences you've had with your family while camping?
Yeah. Well, just some other things that I'll mention that I think make it fun for kids is keep them involved. Remember that, especially when they're young and camping is kind of new to them, remember it's not really your trip, it's their trip. And you have to be really patient. Make it fun for your kids and explore nature. You know, look at the leaves, count the rocks. There's so much out there, and they are so observant of things that, you know, we're used to seeing all the time. And so it's not special to us, but it's new to them. Mm-hmm. And so really embrace that and let them explore. Of course, again, do your homework, and you don't want to be picking up poisonous leaves or things like that. But the thing that made my daughter just really love the outdoors, she said it was so different from home. And that's a little bit easier where I live, because, you know, you would just go up a few thousand feet in elevation, and it is very different. So it's a new environment, so much to see, so much to explore that is different, and be available to embrace that and let them get dirty. That's really important. Let them get dirty. I've even gone as far as buying like thrift store clothes for the trip. So I'm not worried about, oh, it's my favorite shirt, it's dirty. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Let them, you know, really enjoy where they are and make it special, because that's going to make it more fun to continue. And then as they grow, then everybody gets more freedom. So I think one of the, you know, the best experiences I know that have shaped my daughter into loving the outdoors is we had a special place that we would go to several times a year. And so it was familiar to her, but it was also different from home. It was so fun for her to return every year and see what was the same and what was different. Just having that place that we returned to regularly, and we still do. It was her very first overnight camping trip at a few months old, and we still go every year. And it's a very wilderness spot, so I'm not going to tell you where it is. It's our secret spot.
But it's okay. Listeners can get their own secret spots.
But I think having that special special spot you know, and she's 16 years old. And she even said, like, when are we going to go back there? It's like, it's time to go. We haven't been yet, you know, this year. So having a special spot is very important. I also think, I would say one of our favorite trips was later as she grew and loves camping. Again, now we're with the other family, and we did a boat camping trip where we packed up all of our gear in two rafts, and then the kids all took kayaks, and we went across the lake to the wilderness side. That really gave the sense of being away from all civilization. And my daughter still says that that was her very favorite camping trip.
That's awesome. That reminds me of a time, this is before we had Kenzie, but in Sweden, they have this Allemansrats. I probably butchered that, but it basically means like everybody has rights to the land. And so you don't need a permit, or you don't need a camping pass or anything. If you find land that is, even if it's private land, but for there, you need to be a little bit, you know, very respectful if you're on somebody's property in the woods, but technically you can camp anywhere you'd like. And we canoed. We didn't have Kenzie, but we had the two dogs, and we canoed to this little archipelago where there's all these different islands, and some islands you really couldn't camp on because they were nature reserves, but we were able to find our own mini island. And it was amazing because we could just let our dogs go. You know, that's something that they don't get to experience very often, is just being free. Mm-hmm. So they had the whole island to themselves. And it was actually one of the coolest camping experiences I think we've had. We actually went there again when our friends visited because we enjoyed it so much. So I love that idea of thinking about water as a way to also disconnect and find places where you normally can't get by car, because it's not too hard to throw your stuff in a canoe or a kayak and paddle. So I think that's a great idea. And it's fun that that was Maya's favorite trip. Speaking of your daughter, because I know that some listeners, they might not have little ones. They might have teenagers or kids that are 10, 11, 12. Do you have any advice for them with the technology these days? How have you been able to manage engaging older kids in camping when it's very tempting to be on social media or be connected? But do you have any tips and advice for parents of teens when it comes to camping?
You know, Mandy, it's interesting you should ask about advice for parents of teens or tweens who may be reluctant to go camping or backpacking, probably due to separation anxiety from their screens. And it's interesting because I think almost every single backpacking trip I've been on with my daughter, we are stopped by parents saying, how did you get your kid to want to go? You know, I wish my kid would want to do this, but they just will have nothing to do with it. And I think the reason may be because of starting too late. So it's much easier to introduce kids to camping, backpacking at a younger age. But that being said, if that's where they're at, if they are a teenager now and you're trying to do it, I still think you still can be very successful at it. I think it's important that that teens or even tweens have a companion, somebody close to their own age. So maybe a sibling, as long as they get along well with their sibling, or allow a good friend to come along. That alone is going to help them to put their phones down when they have somebody their own age to talk to. I think it's also helpful to try to bring them to an environment that's very different than your environment at home. So whether it's a higher elevation or across a lake or just in any way a different environment. So it's just a more interesting place for them to be. And then sometimes just giving them small challenges. You know, who can find a rock that's in the shape of a heart, or skip stones the furthest across the lake? Just something, if they're having trouble thinking of something to do, you know, come up with things that they can do. And eventually they will, I think, gain an interest and want to explore on their own. I know, you know, my daughter, when she is with her friends, when they come camping or backpacking with us, I would give them a lot of freedom. You know, of course, making sure that it's safe, but having that freedom to go where they want to go and do what they want to do, and, you know, just has to report back at a certain time. I think that's part of the fun, is, you know, that freedom to
to just explore.
Right.
Do you have any last tips or suggestions for families who would love to take their kids camping and make the most of it?
I would just say try to make camping as different from being at home as possible. I see some people, and I'm not making a judgment, but this is just what I don't think would be successful in teaching kids to love nature is they'll pull up someplace in their RV and then go about life like they normally would at home, only they're someplace else. And they're doing the same things that they'd normally do at home, whether it's watching a ball game or, you know, hanging around, you know, it could be, you know, just the adults hanging around and maybe they're enjoying the time away from home and, you know, having a cocktail and talking and then just kind of like the kids just go play. And I don't think that would encourage kids to love the outdoors and love camping because they're just removing them from home, but doing the same thing. And so I think it's really important that you keep in mind that when you go camping, you are doing something different. It's a whole different experience. Your mindset is different and your environment is different. And so I think that's what helps create the love to go back because you're not doing the same thing you do at home. You're doing something altogether different and you're doing it with the family and you're, you know, or, you know, as they get older, you bring a friend along and the dogs and, it's just, you know, camping is not the same as being at home. You're doing something different. And that whole experience is just something to embrace and look forward to doing the next time.
That's great. Thank you for that. That's a great way to close up the conversation. Yeah. So thank you so much for your time. I was really excited to talk to you about this topic because I know that you do so much with your family and I knew you'd be the perfect person to talk to about this. So I appreciate you coming on the podcast and sharing your insight with everyone.
Well, my pleasure, Mandy.
Taking the time to join in on this episode on the Wander Mom Diaries podcast. If you're enjoying this show, then I would love it if you could tell one other person about it. It's super easy to discover no matter what device you have. Just go to www.wandermomdiaries.com. At my website, you'll find the podcast episodes and the blog posts that match up to the episodes you've listened to. All of my links are in the podcast description, so you don't need to worry about memorizing it, but it's best to share this page with a friend you think will enjoy the show because you can listen in on all the episodes right there from your browser. You can even subscribe with your preferred listening app through that page. It would be absolutely amazing if you could share this resource with one other person today. We are all here to help each other, so if you're a fellow Wander Mom who would like to share your story on the podcast, reach out in the DMs on Instagram at Wander Mom Diaries, or you can email me at wandermomdiaries@gmail.com. I would absolutely love to hear your story. Thanks again for tuning in, and don't be afraid to explore away, Wander Moms.